Just for fun, let's trot out Tommy Traddles, a very honorable character and a very kind fellow from Charles Dickens' novel, David Copperfield, and a lawyer. And as a lawyer, we'll ask him to make the case that Oliver may just be one of the greatest musicals of all times. It is the winning combination of orphans finding happiness, Dickens' tale of hope in the grotty industrialism of Victorian London, and, as Tommy Traddles tells us, one heck of a score from Lionel Barr. Now, the opening song is an absolute cracker. Unlike with so many musicals, the big group number that defines Oliver isn't a song about Oliver himself. Instead, it's food, glorious food. An unexpectedly cheery song about the harsh reality of the workhouse boys. Now, everything in the show is totally amoral, but it is seen through a child's eyes. Despite the pickpocketing, robberies, and other criminal activities of Fagin's team, the plot retains a sweet, playful edge to it because it's all seen through the eyes of innocent 9-year-old Oliver. Who doesn't love the Artful Dodger and Oliver's friendship? Sure, Jack Dawkins is a pickpocket and a willing pawn in a child gang leader's game, but he's a great friend to Oliver, and the lyrics to Consider Yourself are really heartfelt. There isn't a lot to spare. Who cares? Whatever we've got, we share. It's brutally honest. Charles Dickens' description of the treatment of orphans in Victorian London is pretty dark, and Lionel Barr doesn't attempt to soften it, despite his jolly soundtrack. Bar a few small tweaks to the storyline, Oliver remains a 9-year-old boy who is thrown out of an orphanage and threatened with murder. I'd Do Anything is an absolute belter. It starts in a sweet, jaunty major key and moves unexpectedly into a heartfelt minor on You Mean Everything. The song is a mockery of how Nancy and the boys think posh people act, but the outcome is an endearing display of how much she and Oliver care for each other. Tommy Traddles continues. Oliver is all alone, and this moment still gives us goosebumps. Without a guardian or a friend, he has lost all faith that there could be someone out there who cares for him. Where is Love is a tender ballad from a lonely child, and it unashamedly tugs on our heartstrings. And then Lionel Barr lifts us back up again. Just as we're feeling really sorry for Oliver and worried for his safety with Fagin and his child gang, Nancy and company put on a jolly number about how they don't mind being in danger, and they're perfectly happy to drink and be merry in the pub. Well played, Bart, says Tommy Traddles. Also, Oliver gets a kind of happy ending. Okay, it's a little too much of a coincidence that the kindest character in the musical, Mr. Brownlow, ends up being Oliver's grandfather. But who cares? After all he's been through, give the kid a break. He deserves this. And at this point, we're so happy for Oliver that we almost forgive Fagin in his reviewing the situation reprise. Almost. He's still a child gang leader. So, despite the incredibly grim storyline, we still come away tapping our heels. Sure, Dickens' story and Bart's music and lyrics are all about abandoned orphans and child gangs. But once you get oom-pa-pa in your head, it's not going anywhere fast. Oliver is proof that sometimes the darkest subject matter makes for the greatest of musicals. Please, sir, can we have some more? So Tommy Traddles rests his case. And so does the actual source of this argument on behalf of the musical Oliver. It's really from Classic FM from February 2018. So on Thursday, the 30th of June, 1960, a hummable musical freely adapted from Oliver Twist, also inspired by a chocolate bar, sizzled onto the stage of the New Theatre London, launching the star careers of stand-up comedian and cabaret artist Ron Moody, who played Fagin, nightclub singer Georgia Brown, who was Nancy, and a string of musical artful dodgers, including Davy Jones, later one of the pop group The Mumkees, who performed as Dodger on The Ed Sullivan Show the same night the Beatles made their American TV debut, and the rock star Phil Collins, said to be the loudest Dodger, his child agent, actor mother proudly recalled, the Small Faces singer-guitarist Steve Marriott, and the teen actor Jack Wild, who went wild, as ex-Dodgers were wont to do. The curtain calls went on and on, recalled Moody. There was a kind of electrical magnetism around the theater. That from Josh Marsh and Carrie Sickman. And so it continues. The Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre will present Oliver for its second weekend, and that's through June 29th at the Little Theater on North Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. Scott Cullen will know, artistic director at the Little Theater, and Fagin in this production, and Mariah Kahn, who has the role of Mrs. Sowerby, paid a visit to the WVIA Benko studio to talk about the production and how it's a perfect part of any little theater season.
The Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre has been operating in Wilkes-Barre since 1922. We're 103 years old, and it's an amazing institution. We even survived through COVID. You know, we are the third longest running community theater in the country. And we have been continually producing shows, even in 2020, 2021, we were still producing theater. And so it's pretty amazing that institution is thriving even in this day and age. And so community theater as a whole is so important to bring theater to local communities that, you know, can't get to Broadway, that can't get to the equity houses. And so, you know, it's very, very important to us to make sure the community has an arts infusion. And that's so important.
It is, Scott. And one of the other things, because it fits in with what we're about to address, and that is Little Theater has been known for non-musicals and musicals, but doing musicals so well with live music over the years.
And that is so important to us as artistic director, you know, making sure we have a live pit for our main stage shows is so vitally important, and becoming increasingly rare as costs rise for everything. And so our musicians deserve to be compensated for their time and talent. It becomes cost prohibitive for some companies, but it's a cost that we're willing to take on and is so vitally important to us.
As artistic director, fill us in on the decision to do Oliver.
When we're talking about plays and we're talking about the season as a whole, like as of right now, we're already talking about 2026 and what we're doing next year. And we always try to have something for everyone. And so we always have at least one drama on the schedule. We always have at least one comedy on the schedule. You know, under my paradigm, we do a fun, huge, largely energetic dance musical in the springtime, and a kind of a dark, lyrical musical in the fall as things start to get a little bit more cold and dreary. And our summer musical is always geared toward families. And so we always try to do a family-friendly musical in that slot. And what says family more than Oliver? You know, we're able to get moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles involved in the show, as well as now we have everybody coming to see those little cute little orphans in the audience.
I've just read about your director and her somewhat fresh approach to the show. Introduce us to her and tell us about her vision.
Our director is Carla Saltzman, I think the fresh take is we decided to soften it. Oliver, as it was written by Charles Dickens, is a very, very dark, bleak, dreary play, and it kind of belies the family nature that we really wanted to present. And so, like, every single character that Oliver comes in contact with is mean and nasty and on some level evil. And we really kind of softened that. We softened Mr. Bumble, you know, and he and Carol Sweeney are a wonderful pair together, and they are so, so funny. Joe Hudak plays Mr. Bumble. You know, they are such a comedic duo, the two of them. And then Oliver gets sold to an undertaker and his wife, played by Richard Wilkins and his wife, played by Mariah Kahn. And they have this wonderfully comedic song, you know, It's Your Funeral. Again, you know, even those characters are mean and nasty in Dickens' original work, but we could, again,
injecting
we soften
a lot
them.
Of comedy.
Yes.
We really, I think Carla has a great eye for the comedic. That's what I've found from working with her and taking these characters who are still pretty dark and despicable, but making it more into a dark comedy instead of dark meanness.
Mm-hmm. And even Fagin, you know, which is the character that I play, he's still a crook. He still has the syndicate working for him in the streets of London, and he is still in cahoots with Bill Sykes. But we've softened him too, and you know, we make him a little more sympathetic, a lot more sympathetic than the original Charles Dickens novel.
Rye, what drew you to take on the role?
Well, Oliver is my absolute favorite musical of all time. I have been waiting and waiting for a community theater to mount a production of Oliver. I have been a fan of both the book and the musical since I was a small child. I don't know, something in me just identifies to that misunderstood orphan Oliver. I am not an orphan, but sometimes I guess I felt misunderstood in my life. So I always gravitated towards the story and the ultimate redemption at the end and everything like that. And I just adore the songs of Oliver. I pretty much knew all the songs before coming into the show. And ironically, probably the only song I did not know by heart is the song that I sing, It's Your Funeral. But I've had a wonderful time learning it. And my scene partner, Richard Wilkins, has been the perfect foil. I think that we are the most lovable, creepy undertaker couple that you've ever met.
And the white whale drink a toddy to that body beautiful.
That's your funeral.
Not our funeral.
That's your funeral.
It's wonderful. Has musical theater always been something that you have done?
Oh, yes. Yes. So I've been involved with musical theater since I was 10 years old. But this is the first time I've had an opportunity to be in Oliver, my very favorite musical. So I'm very excited.
And Scott, this is a musical with a lot of young players. Where do you find them and how do you work with them?
You'd be surprised. They come out of the woodwork. They're always underfoot. They're always there. No, it's wonderful working with the kids. And we had an absolute plethora of riches of talent come out. We have a wonderful, wonderful ensemble of children backstage. And it's great having them there. And it's really nice being Fagin in that scenario because they're always looking up to me. And, you know, being able to teach them the craft and being able to show them theatrical discipline and all that, it puts me in a very, very unique and wonderful position.
And what about Oliver?
We have one Oliver, and she is an actress. That is more commonly done as, you know, the times have changed. And Sabrina Sickler is her name. And she is a wonderful young actress, and she really hits the nuances very, very, very well.
And we're very lucky to have a talented young actor, Jordan Paris, playing our artful dodger. Artful dodger, dodging about the streets of London. So.
And what about the accents?
Well, Erica, you see, there's a nuance to really acquiring the right dialect for someone like Fagin, who is not of the proper London. There's someone who's in the upper crust of London, and we have some of those on stage too. But you get a little darker when you get into the Cockney, and you get into the underbelly of London.
You really discover all the little ungrateful wretches for what they is.
As singing actors, how do you learn your lines? How do you learn your songs?
Well, learning lines, for me, whenever I'm in a show, I immediately just go home and learn my lines. My goal is that the read-through, the initial read-through, should be the only time that I'm looking at that book. But, I mean, it depends on the length and breadth of the role. Of course, you know, for some roles, it might take a couple weeks. But if it's a smaller role, I try to be off book before the first blocking rehearsal. That just comes from sitting by yourself and just repeating, repetition, repetition, repetition. Now, with the music, that's a little bit more involved. You know, obviously, it helps if you have accompaniment. So, you know, having good music rehearsals with your music director and sometimes finding a score that you know is going to be close to what you're using. So usually if I'm in a musical, I talk with the music director at the first rehearsal and say, is there a published score that is close to what you're using? And then I purchase that score and I just listen to it on a loop.
And that is a perfect example of how actors are different. See, I can't do it that way. Me sitting in a home and just looking at the script, I cannot memorize lines. It's all about body movement and muscle memory for me. Mm-hmm. And so I will take my script to that first blocking rehearsal because I cannot be off book until I know where I'm going to be on stage. And I start doing memory pegs, attaching lines to location.
To places.
You know?
Oh, that's very interesting.
And that's how once I get that done, once I get my flight pattern down, then I can memorize the whole thing and it becomes a lot easier. As far as music and lyrics, that is honestly a chicken or the egg question. You know, what comes first? You know, for some people, you need to learn the notes before you can learn the words. And for some people, you have to learn the words before you can learn the notes. I think it depends on the song for me.
I'm a words first person.
Who is your music director?
Her name is Polina Postashenko. She was wonderful. She did our Secret Garden last season, and she was so wonderful. We wanted to invite her back again. And she has a wonderful pit that comes with her, 15 pieces. She teaches at Marywood. And so they, all these students.
Very talented musicians.
Extremely talented. I mean, you know, the orchestra is worth the price of admission in and of itself. They are such, so wonderfully talented.
How does the scenery enhance the story or support the story?
Well, it definitely evokes Victorian London. So we have furniture pieces that are appropriate to each setting. And then we have had some wonderful people working behind the scenes, actually creating the set. There is a skyline of London, complete with Big Ben painted in the background. We have movable set pieces that can be used in multiple areas to either evoke outdoors or indoors, and even at one point to evoke the London Bridge.
The technical staff has gone through great, great pains to create that Victorian atmosphere. The one thing that usually when people go to see Oliver, they're expecting lots of grays and blacks and everything is necessarily bleak. And again, Carla, in her vision, has added these splashes of color that are all over the stage. Fagin himself is not necessarily, you know, dressed in dreary, drab colors, and neither is Mrs. Sowerberry. You know, and so there is a lot of splashiness coming off that stage, not denying the Victorian London of Charles Dickens, but actually adding to it.
Yes, and key elements of the costume might draw the eye, so an orphan might be in a dreary, drab costume, but have like a little pocket handkerchief that he stole from somebody. And Dodger's got his plum coat, you know? So
you've had a weekend's run, right? So you have some sense of how the audience responds. Were there surprises? They were laughing at places where you didn't expect?
Well, that's always the case, and that's the glory of live theater.
You pleasantly know? Surprised.
Yes. The audiences seem to thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. You know, they would leave singing the songs and extremely receptive to what we've done.
And how about speaking to us today? We know that there is homelessness, there is hunger in our communities. How does this production, softened though it is, speak to us today?
Well, the fact that it's a musical, and the fact that Oliver goes from these very, very humble beginnings in this workhouse and essentially gets sold to the Sourberries and eventually runs away and becomes a thief and everything that's bad in the world, and things still work out okay. You know, there's always a tomorrow. And, you know, it's funny that I say the word tomorrow because I've always considered Oliver to be the British Annie, or Annie is the American Oliver. And so, you know, it's a matter of, you know what, no matter how bad things are, there is always tomorrow, and you never lose sight of that. Things can always get better, no matter what your situation.
There's always hope for redemption.
That's one of the things that you mentioned, Mariah. You love the fact that there is that sense at the end, right?
Exactly, exactly. I think it takes a bleak story that, like you said, even though it was written long ago and it's set in a bygone era, we can see a lot of the themes in our current everyday life. You know, you see people who might not have the best home life. You see children, you know, not getting the care that they deserve. But it shows that no matter how bleak the story may look, you can always have hope, because you never know where that redemption might come from.
You're sending the audience out into the world and they're singing the songs. Do you shower and can't get them out of your mind? These are the kinds of songs that just have that quality that once you hear them, they may be with us for weeks.
They will. The tunes will be. I sing them in the shower for a different reason, to keep the words in the brain. You know, Fagin's songs are very, very wordy.
Very catchy.
But they are very catchy.
I have children, and before my son came to see the show, I asked him, I said, "Oh, are you excited to hear all the songs live?" He said, "I've been hearing them live for weeks," because I had been singing them over and over again at home, even the ones I don't technically sing in the show.
Consider yourself at home. Consider yourself one of the family. We've taken to you. So strong, it's clear we're going to get along. Consider yourself
well in.
Consider yourself
part of the furniture.
There isn't a lot to spare.
Who cares what ever we got we share.
There are so many favorite songs, but one of them is Consider Yourself One of the Family. So it sounds, too, like it is the kind of ensemble piece, especially when you were describing the young ones, Scott, that this is maybe a family that's grown among all of you. Rocky Horror probably does, too, but this sounds like it would have that feel.
It really does, and having the kids backstage helps that familial atmosphere, and we are a family. You know, before every show, we get in a big circle on the stage, and we hold hands, and Carla has created this atmosphere of validation. And, you know, at one point in the rehearsal process, we all had to give a compliment to each other. And it's just a really, really sweet family that Carla has cultivated. And it's really nice.
Absolutely.
So once these young ones have had this experience, then they'll be showing up at every audition, even if they're not old enough to play their roles.
That's the hope. And even people in the audience, too. You know, I was talking with Mariah, and she talked about how her son was like, "No, I don't think I'll come out. I don't think I'll come out." And after he saw the show and saw the orphans doing what the orphans do, he said, "Oh, man, I wish I had done that." And that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping there are some children in that audience that said, "You know what? That is what I want to do." And that's their ultimate goal, is creating that next generation of young actors. The show opens with 28 children just coming from the backstage onto the stage, and it's wonderful. And that's how the show opens. And so when these kids are sitting in this audience watching that and go, "Wow, I mean, they're doing it, I can do that too."
Is that what happened with your son?
Yes, he's actually just beginning to get into theater, and I did encourage him to audition for Oliver because I thought he would be perfect for it, but he was a little reticent, you know, because he wasn't sure if someone like him could do it. And then once he saw all those kids up there, kids younger than him, kids older than him, and everyone in between, he knew that that's something that he would like to do as well. And I hope a lot of children feel that way.
Give us the particulars, would you, Scott?
Sure. We continue on our second weekend this coming Friday. That's June 27th. And then we continue through the weekend, 28th and 29th. So you have three opportunities to see this wonderful performance. Friday and Saturday night, we open at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7:30. And then on Sunday at 3, doors open at 2:30.
Scott Colin Woolnow, artistic director at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, and Fagin in this production, and Mariah Kahn, who has the role of Mrs. Sowerby. They paid a visit to the WVIA Benko studio to talk about the Little Theater production, and the final weekend is this weekend. It's Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 3. That's the 27th, 28th, and 29th of June. The Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre is located at 537 North Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. And for more information, on the web, ltwb.org. Oliver, the cherished musical by Lionel Bart. And it's running Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, 537 North Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. Friday and Saturday at 8, Sunday at 3. For more information, on the web, ltwb.org.